So today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you, Jill. Our first four commandments that we've already looked at here on Sundays and in your small groups as well show our obligation towards God. No other gods, no idols or images of gods, no misusing God's name and all that that name stands for, and keep the Sabbath. The fifth commandment functions as a bridge between those commandments and the ones which follow that show obligations towards others. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The focus of this command, like those to come, is the continuity of God's family, the covenant community, if you like. These commands do their work when they bind the people together in God, in deep covenantal commitment. So it's much more than just being about happy families, if you like. Such you can imagine the original setting, the broad, extended nature of the Israelite family, in which several generations under the authority and protection of the head of the household, probably a man, probably the senior living male, living and all working together. To honour one's parents was a broader reality than just childhood obedience. This commandment is not primarily aimed at younger children, although, of course, they will be included. It's primarily addressed to adults, and as such has in mind how mature adults are to treat their older or elderly parents. Mature adults who are no longer under the control of their parents and who in many ways may have control and power over their parents. Older parents can be regarded by grown children as unimportant, burdensome, slow, impatient. So we're going to consider for these next few minutes, what does it mean to honour our parents? Why is it important to honour our parents? And what are some of the practical ways in which we can honour our parents? First, though, actually, no, I'm going to miss that bit out. So what does it mean to honour our parents? In other versions of this commandment, there is alongside it the prohibition of violence towards one's parents. Well, that's good then. And of course, cursing one's parents. The word curse in this instance means to treat lightly or contemptibly, to regard someone with little account and to afford them little dignity. The word honour is the exact opposite of curse in this language. It means to treat with some weight, to regard as having great worth, to prize highly, to show respect, even to glorify and exalt. There are nuances in the word here of caring for and showing affection. It's a word also used to describe proper response to God. So there may be no real specifics here then, just the command to honour. It's a positive thing too here that both parents are treated equally here. Interesting when you think of the patriarchal society of which that message was received. Now, this, we've got to say, is one very big ask. For some people, this is a very, very big ask indeed, to honour one's parents. It's an increasingly complex thing to do. Some people are going to have real difficulties with this command. What does it mean to honour parents who abandoned or abused us? What does it mean to honour your parents if they neglected you? What if a parent put you down in front of others or always criticised you, even criticised your best efforts, and your self-confidence or your self-esteem has suffered? Dad, I got 99%. Yeah, so what happened to the other 1% then? Maybe we've all had that in one way or another, that trying to live up to the mark, live up to the standard of a parent. What if your folks got divorced or separated and you remember the anguish and hurt that maybe caused you? What if you were adopted? What if you were fostered a lot? What if you never really got on with your parents? What if your parents are now dead and you're wondering, well, maybe there's nothing more I can do. You know, those moments are past. I've missed the boat, or you don't know where they are, perhaps. Of course, one of the challenges that we face is that, you know, people are generally hanging around a lot longer, aren't they? I think we might have mentioned this once before when we were talking about marriage, or was it at a wedding I was taking? You know, the idea of sticking together with someone for life when, you know, life expectancy was maybe 38 or 40, and you could probably get through that, but, you know, you could have decades with this other person now, couldn't you? Oh, my word, it's, like, remarkable. And so, too, with our parents as they get older. They're going to be around for years and years, perhaps, potentially, not always. So we're thrown into a potential wealth of years to enjoy with our parents, or years of struggle, perhaps, and tension and complexity, depending on the quality of the relationship between parent and child. Are we going to honour our parents, whatever that means? Are we going to exploit our parents, whatever that looks like? You, like me, may have been watching some of those, that series on BBC called Ambulance, where they follow the work of the West Midlands Ambulance Service to all sorts of emergencies as they respond to 999 calls. There was one that was really heartbreaking, an elderly lady. Admittedly, she wasn't a mother. She didn't have children, though she had had a husband. In her late 80s, you know, she was found in a really bad way. You know, she'd been trying to sleep in a chair in this tiny rundown flat, and home was a mess. Her body was in pain, and, you know, just felt, you know, why was nobody caring for her? There was a couple of people living nearby who kind of had a look in on her, but I thought, wasn't there more that they could do? But what struck me, and the point I'm telling you this, is because one of the paramedics was a Sikh, and he kind of said that just wouldn't have happened in his community. I was reading a bit of research thing yesterday from Age UK, and broader organisation actually, where it talks about how we're going to care for our older people. And they did this thing across the, you know, ethnic minorities and then white English and all those sorts of things. And who was going to be in closer proximity to caring for their family members and their older members of the family was not the white English people. It was the ethnic minorities, the Pakistanis, the Bangladeshis, the Indians. Maybe there's something about that you picked up, that they maybe do community in a different way than we do. Still, we are to ask God for his help in understanding what it means for each of us to obey him with regard to this command. This command comes with no qualification, no limitation, and apparently no ending. Just honour your parents. Another BBC series, which I might have mentioned, I think, on Facebook, was the one called Broken, which showed the actor Sean Penn playing a Roman Catholic priest wrestling with his faith and the life of others. It's brilliant, brilliant series. Not easy watching, but I think one of the best things Kaz and I would say we've seen in years. So watch out for it if it comes around again. But this priest is wrestling with his faith and the life of others, often in really difficult circumstances. You pick up that he went to a Roman Catholic school as a young boy and had a really difficult time there. He's working with people in a really tough estate where they are wrestling with their lives, and he's trying to help them. Through him, though, Father Michael Kerrigan, as he's called in this, you know, these people experience something of the love and grace and acceptance that God offers and the possibility of hope. It's a series shot through with real poignant moments. And one of the most powerful and challenging was seeing Father Michael lie down on the floor, well, actually on a camp bed, next to the bed where his elderly mother is dying. What we, the viewer, know is what he knows as well, that she was merciless to him in his childhood. And through the series, there are kind of flashbacks to what he put up with and the way that she abused him in the language, her tone, her body language. She was a hateful woman. But he regularly takes his turn to come and be with her for the night. In spite of all that's gone before, and in spite of everything else that he's dealing with, we see him lean into her, hold her hand, affirm her because she's had her hair done. They share precious time together. They sing a song from the past together. It's beautiful, haunting, and powerful. A wonderful picture of what it means to honour one's parent in spite of it all. So why is it so important to honour our parents? Well, it is the first commandment that comes with a promise attached to it. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving to you. Obedience to this command brings positive outcomes. This command, like all of them, is tied up in that covenant, that deep agreement, if you like, between God and his people. God makes promises. We, in our obedience, find that we are blessed. Everybody wins. This commandment, particularly, though, is often highlighted wherever there's talk, right through Leviticus and some of those first five books of the Bible, wherever there's talk about obeying God and holiness and being holy like God is, this command often comes up. It gets a real place, a real priority. God's blessing is experienced in the family as the parents teach the children God's ways. And the children, in turn, learn from the faith of their parents. So again, imagine that community. Their story is, we've been rescued from Egypt. We were slaves. We were oppressed. But now we are free. And we talked about what the Sabbath talked about. The idea that it was day of work was every day of the week, oppressed all the time. Yet Sabbath comes. Remember, you are set free. Stop working. Be with God. Enjoy him. So, the parents would have told the children this story of their history. The children would ask particular questions and the people would rehearse the story. If ever you've watched a program about Jewish families, even today, you will see that it's full of ritual around the house, quite beautiful in so many ways. The children, in turn, would have responded to their parents in obedience with a listening ear. And the idea being that the community would be blessed as they continue to hold this story in awe and practice it through the years. The suggestion here is also that each generation honouring father and mother, caring for its older members, creates and maintains a social climate that enhances the possibility of good and long life for individuals and for the community as a whole. I mean, you know this in even a tiny way in your own families, don't you? If you get on with your parents, if you get on with your kids, it's a joy to be with them. It's a blessing to be with them. Everybody wins. That's what God is trying to encourage. Look, stick with this, guys. Honour your parents. Listen to the stories. Take what's good from them. Now, that may well be a very long way from our own experience, particularly in our very secularised world, if you like, where there isn't that sense of tradition. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home where you can relate to that. Maybe you didn't. But we have to be open, still open to the possibility that we can listen to these words and that God will have something relevant to say to us. So how are we to honour our parents then? Why is it important? It comes with a promise. How are we to go about it? Well, four ways at least. We can honour our parents by accepting them in spite of the negatives. Think of that clip I mentioned, Father Michael. In the Proverbs we read, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You can despise her up till then, but when she's old, you can't. You know, they may not be perfect. They may have hurt you in some way. They may have let you down in some way or other. It may be really difficult to think about forgiving them. But we can maybe try and accept them. Those words from Raymond, live in harmony with one another. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And surely that must include our parents. I mentioned earlier at service that, you know, this accepting and forgiveness is something that God worked on me for a couple of years. I spent a lovely time meeting regularly with someone who really helped me over this after my own father had died. There was much that was wonderful about my father. There was other things that were deeply challenging about his parenting of my older brother and me. And, you know, someone had spied in me, as it were, that they wanted me in my leadership, in my ministry, to be kind of set free from anything from the past that might have been holding me back. And it was just wonderful, although sometimes very difficult, to go into those areas of my life and drill down into what some of those issues had been. And then wondrously to be able to appreciate and accept what was really good about my father, whilst also just being able to say, God, he didn't get that right, and I just want to forgive him, and I want to know that you've forgiven him, whatever that means, and I want to be free from that stuff from the past. That might resonate with some of you. Accept them in spite of the negatives. Secondly, we can honour our parents by appreciating them. You know, I respect your positives, the positive bits of you. I respect your effort and sacrifice. You know, those of us who've got teenage children, we've got to look around for things that can really help us appreciate. And you walk into their bedroom and you appreciate that the ceiling is clear. You know, respect the positives in them. We can do that. You know, the thing is, I'm still learning this one. When you find it really difficult to get on with someone, maybe because they've hurt you, it's really hard not to see everything that they do through that same lens. That even when they do something that you could normally appreciate, you find yourself thinking, oh, I'm not going to affirm them because of X, Y, or Z in the past. But what we read in those books, those words in Romans is, that can't be with the people of God. So maybe God would challenge us to appreciate our parents if they're still alive, in spite of some of the negative things. Respect the effort and sacrifice that they've made for us. Thirdly, we can honour our parents by affirming them. Acknowledge that the good that they do now. Don't just wait till it's funeral time, okay? Now, this can be a tricky one. It can be a particularly tricky thing for father and sons. After my mother died many years ago, we spent a lot more time with my father. And I really wanted to tell him that I loved him. But that wasn't the sort of conversations that we had. It was really awkward. So I kind of say, oh, I love you, Dad. Like that sort of thing. Yeah, should we get on and do something else? That was a good swing on the golf course, Dad. Or I'd say sometimes when we were just parting, so you know that we all love you, don't you? Which was true. But it was still kind of holding back a bit. And maybe even better saying, this is the reason we love you. These are some of the things that we really appreciate you. And my dad died suddenly. I didn't quite make it in time to get there. So I didn't get a chance to say the things that I really would have loved to have said to him. But I did at his funeral, which was brilliant. Maybe we can honour our parents then by affirming them now. Find something about them that you really appreciate. Go tell them. Go tell them what they did for you, something from the past, or whatever it might be. And then we can honour our parents by not abandoning them. So, they were all A's, if you notice. Honour our parents by accepting them, appreciating them, affirming them. Honour them by not abandoning them. Now, there's a real complexity about care for our older folk today. We all know that. We know that we, you listen to the news, you know, we're headed for some really challenging times for the future. You know, we have not been having enough children for them to be able to support us in our years and that personal care that children can bring. And we know that just the nature of society, the way that we are distant from one another far more, you know, things are changing on that front. You know, and why aren't we really addressing that? I do not know. Maybe our politicians are nervous about really grasping that one. Nevertheless, there is a responsibility upon us if our parents are still alive. As we said, they're going to be living a lot longer. And some of the things we wrestle with is, you know, are we going to invite our parents or parent to stay somewhere like a glorified hotel, if you like, for people of their age, residential care or a care home, whatever it might be. I know that many people wrestle over that one. We feel that, you know, we really want them to stay in their home or to stay with us. Sometimes we have to make that choice, and that can be a positive choice. And if that's something that you're wrestling with, you know, just seek God over that one. God, what does it mean for me to honour my parent or an older aunt or someone that you have some concern for at this time? What does that mean as we talk about finances and care homes and all that sort of thing? You know, at worst, you know, we would, as it were, look to exploit our parents. I'm surely we're not going to be doing that. But there can be that sense of, you know, how's this going to work out for me financially? If I put them into a home, it's going to cost a fortune. All the inheritance will be gone. So why don't we just hang on to them as long as we can? But actually, to give them the dignity and honour and the care they need, it might not be right for them to be at home with us. And just a little side issue here. I remember listening to Radio 4 about a programme about caring for our older people a few years ago. And the person was saying, we should be honouring those who look after our old people much more than we do. We should be praying for them and thanking them. Those lovely folks up on Cleve Hill Nursing Home and in Orchard House, who do all the messy work with our older people, who do all the loving care when they're being more forgetful, who care for them in all sorts of ways, day in, day out, so that we don't have to, yes, but they've got the expertise. And yet, where are they on the pay scale? Where are they on the kind of jobs that we look up to, people that we affirm? I don't think they were there where they should be. Maybe it's another thing that we as a church could do something about that, actually, in terms of not just visiting the people who are residents in these places, but something for the staff as well. Maybe that's something that we should pilot or think about. Does anybody agree with me on that? You know? Okay, so that's a kind of whistle-stop tour through that command. There's so much more can be said. As I was preparing for this, I just had you guys in mind, because I know that ones of you who I know, different people across our congregations, this talk today will land with each of you in different places. It will challenge you in different places. And you may still be thinking, my parents are dead. There are still ways you can honour them. The way that you speak about them, the way that you remember them, the way you give thanks to God for them. And one last thing too, is that many of you will be parents as well. How are you doing in your parenting that makes it a bit easier for your children to honour you? Now, it's a blanket command, just they are to honour us anyway. But how are we in our, are we traditioning to them God and his ways and his values? So maybe there is a challenge for us as well. So, when I'm encouraging people and they're doing their talks in this church or elsewhere, and when I used to teach the preaching course down at Wemtec, I'd always say to people, you write out all your notes and then you write a couple of things at the end of it all over your notes. So what? And then you say, where's the good news here? I want you to spend 30 seconds on that, those questions with the person next to you if you want to. What's the so what of this commandment? And where's the good news? Because it's more challenging to see than some of the other stuff we've done. Okay, if you just want to sit and ponder for a moment, you do that. If you feel confident to speak to the person next to you, what's the so what? So Mount's done his talk, so what? And where's the good news? Off you go.